Okay, this coming Shabbos we'll have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Chukas, and the Parsha begins, Zos Chukas HaTorah, this is the Chukim of the Torah, and the Ramban asks, why the Parsha begins with Zos Chukas HaTorah, and then the Pasuk continues, Daber al Bnei Yisrael. Shouldn't it be the opposite? Don't we normally say, Daber al Bnei Yisrael Leimor Zos Chukas HaTorah? So Rav Shachter Shalita explains in the name of Rav Yerucham Gerelik Zatzal, that the first rule, the first part of the mitzvah of Parah Aduma, is that it has to be done in front of the Beis Din of Ayin Aleph of 71 justices. First, that is the first chukah. Zos chukas haTorah daber el b'nei Yisrael. You need to perform the Parah Aduma service in front of all of b'nei Yisrael. La'enei ha'eda. And so therefore the Torah writes it in that process and in that style so that that too be understood as one of the requirements of the Parah Aduma. Torah tells us, Zos haTorah Adam Kiyamus Ba'ohel, as after we're going through the process of explaining how to make the Parah Aduma, then we're told this is the Torah when a man dies in the tent. Zos haTorah Adam Kiyamus Ba'ohel. And the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Perek Gimel writes that the words of Torah stand the test of time, right? When does Ein Divrei Torah Miskaimen Ela V'mi Shememis Atzmo Aleha? And the Rambam adds the words, "Be'ohalei tzaddikim," that the Torah stands the test of time when a person is prepared to kill himself over for them in the tents of tzaddikim. What does being among tzaddikim have to do with that? Why does there have any connection whatsoever? So the late great Mira Rosh Yeshiva of Nelson C. Finkel's Zatzal explained that the source for the Rambam's understanding is the understanding that Chazal had that one should not absolve himself from the Beis HaMedrash. A person can absolve himself from being in the Beis Medrash, telling himself, I can learn Torah anywhere. But there are two different aspects here. There's an aspect of being somewhere, and then there's an aspect of being absolved from Torah. Torah is often studied in many places, but the situation that guarantees Torah success is in the Batei Midrashos. And so the Torah tells us, Zos haTorah Adam Kiyamas Ba'ohel, where is it that a person has the ability to stand the test of time when he attaches himself, Be'ohalei Tzadikim, in the tents of Torah? A very important message. We later hear about how Moshe and Aaron sinned. Yeah, and they get punished. Yan lohemantem bilak disheni le'enei b'nei Yisrael. Since you didn't trust me to sanctify me, and to, so of course, as is well known, the Mefarshim abound in their system to try to understand what exactly was it that Moshe and Aaron did that was so terrible. What was the great avera that causes them to lose their option to go into the land of Israel? So the author of the Sefer Ikarim, Rav Yosef Albo, explains that their avera was in the fact that they had a chance to make a Kiddush Hashem, and they didn't. Because Moshe Rabbeinu should have declared the waters to spring forth, and he didn't. He lost out, therefore, on the chance to prove that Tzadik goes there, v'akadosh baruch hu mekayim, that when a Tzadik makes a decree, Hashem fulfills that decree. That's the avera, that he lost out on Tzadik goes there. So the Meshech Chachma explains that there were many other Nevi'im, Yoshua, Shmuel, who engaged in declarations. Famously, Yoshua declared, Shemesh Begivon Dom. So they used that tactic of Tzadik Gozer V'Akadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, but Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. And the question has to be raised, why didn't he use it? So Rav Schlesinger explains that Moshe's level was such that if Moshe would be Gozer and Hashem would respond, so the people would say, that's because Hashem listens to Moshe. So in the power hierarchy, it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu trumps Hashem. And so therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was very careful before he made a Gezerah. In fact, the only time he used the principle of Tzadik Gozer V'Akadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim in his lifetime seems to be in last week's parasha when he defended his brother's honor. When he said, "In Bria Yivra Hashem Upatasa Aritzas Pia," the problem with that is that when the people saw him do this for Aaron and not for Hashem's honor, it was wrong in their minds, and for that he was punished. In other words, the people assume that Moshe was more concerned with the kavod due to Aaron and not the kavod due to Hashem. Hence the statement of Rav Yosef Albo that he had a chance to make a Kiddush Hashem in declaring Tzadik Gozer about Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. And so immediately after the Aveira, we find that the nation cries for Aaron for Shloshim Yom. And the Medrash notes that Aaron's unique ability, why the entire nation, was because Aaron had that ability to approach and mediate between aggrieved parties. And the question has to be asked, once everyone sort of figured out Aaron HaKohen's tactic, why didn't that shtick dry up? Why weren't people more wise to Aaron HaKohen's ruse? And why did it continue to work throughout Aaron's life? So Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi Shalita explained that Aaron was not a tactical operative. He was a perceptive individual who understood people well. Aaron understood that nobody liked arguments. He knew that every person felt that if only the other side knew how he, the individual, was eating himself up over the disagreement, then the other side would move to resolution. And that's what people wanted in arguments. And so therefore Aaron went and made each one look inside and see things from the other awareness perspective. And that came from the fact that Aaron HaKohen understood human relationships. And thus, the nation didn't fall for it, says Rabbi Baruch Mordechai. They wanted it. And so constantly, Aaron was that calming voice that encouraged people to think beyond themselves, using themselves to think beyond themselves to create a situation of shalom. So sure enough, the people get together in the towards the end of the parasha, and they start complaining to Moshe again, V'nashenu katsa b'lechem haklokel. Our souls are sick of this unpleasant bread. And it seems strange that the people who are recognized as the most spiritually advanced generation get so stuck on the physical. And moreover, each time that they get stuck on the physical, every single time that they start complaining about something, bad happens. So why didn't they learn from that experience? Why do they keep coming back to it? So Rav Simcha Zissel Brady, the famous Chevron Rosh Yeshiva, learns that the people suffered and focused on the physical because they sought something spiritual. When they feared that the spiritual attachment was not with them, they hung from an awareness that their lives were empty. And so they sought to cling to something more tangible. And so they focused on food and on their emptiness instead of the real reason for their depressed state, the loss of reality of Hashem's presence. These other things that they sought were really just vehicles for Avodas Hashem. But if you learn to use them and you don't gain from them, then these vehicles become the primary. The tafel becomes the entire focus and the ikar gets thrown out the window. And that's where they get stuck and have the problem. And so sure enough, Hashem promises that punishes them with the Nechashim Asrafim. And Moshe Rabbeinu solves that crisis by making a Nechash HaNechoshes. And the Torah tells us, Vayas Moshe Nechash HaNechoshes, Vayisimeu al Hanes. That Moshe Rabbeinu made a copper snake and put it on a pole. In the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah has two compelling questions. Very famously, one concerning Moshe Rabbeinu's hands in battle, in the battle of Amalek, and one in regard to the snake. And so in regard to the snake in this week's Parsha, we're told, does a snake have an ability to kill and bring back to life? And Rav Sabato, the famous Rosh Yeshiva of Malei Adumim Shalita, explains that the Mishnah here is not teaching us to simply is teaching us not to simply look at the rationalist view of situation that snakes kill, because we have a responsibility in life to understand that snakes also have an ability to heal. The deeper message that a person has to engage in is that Hashem decides that how that which can be lethal can also be life-promoting. And we find a similar context that exists within the Ketores of last week's Parsha. And then sometimes in our quest to make sense, we write Hashem out of the equation. We first need to think beyond that which is in our current sphere of logic, if we're going to eventually appreciate the neflos habori, the wonderment of Hashem. Scientists who ignore God are never due to make scientific discoveries of substance. Ultimately, the substance-filled conclusions come about because of our appreciation of writing God into the equation. We find towards the end of the parasha that the Jewish people sing a song again on the Be'er. Az Yashir Yisrael es Hashira Azos Ali Be'er Enula. And the Orach Haim HaKadosh asks, why B'nai Yisrael sang Shira now? Moreover, it sounds like it's a Shira that's about the Torah. So if they sing a Shira now that's about the Torah, shouldn't they have sung it at the time of Matan Torah? Why sing it now? So Rav Gitter Zatzal explains that the true Kabbalah HaTorah didn't happen at Har Sinai. It happened when Moshe finally brought the Luchos down. And since between the time of Matan Torah and the time that Moshe brings down the Luchos there was a sin, the people didn't see themselves at that point in time as worthy of singing Shira. When they felt they finally got past that stage in life, that's when they felt that they were worthy of offering and singing praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Finally, in the Haftorah this week, we are going to be privileged to read about Yiftach HaGiladi, and we will see how Yiftach HaGiladi ran away from his brothers and he settled in a place called Eretz Tov. So some of the Mefarshim explain that the land that Yiftach ran to was qualitatively good, and that's why it's referred to as Eretz Tov. It was a good land. Others point out that there was a land that was owned by the name by a man named Tov. We know Moshe Rabbeinu, for instance, was one of his names seems to have been Tov, so maybe that carried through for other generations as well. People name their kids Tov. I know women and who name their children Tova. So, having a child named Tov is not the craziest idea in the world. But many years ago, I had the privilege of learning from a very fine individual, Rabbi Yosef Gavriel Beckhofer, who wrote a wonderful sefer on Shoftim. And Rabbi Beckhofer Shalita quoted a Yerushalmi in Shavuos, if I'm not mistaken, that points out that the land was exempt from Trumos and Maisos, this Eretz Tov. And the land was exempt from Shemitah since it was still in the hand of the non-Jews. And so the people that Yiftach hung around with, these Anashim Reikim, the empty people, they gladly traded in the mitzvah of Truma, the mitzvah of Maisros, the mitzvah of Shemitah. Those people would say, ah, it's a Gevaldika land, it's Tov, we don't have to separate Trumos and Maisros, etc. So Rabbi Beckhofer pointed out that here we find the leader of the Baal Tshuva movement, who trained the people around him to bend their concept of what is indeed Tov towards that which Hashem would find Tov. Don't look at things and getting out of it as an opportunity to see things as Tov. Look at the opportunity to do the mitzvah as something that's Tov. Ki lekach Tov, nasati lochem torasi al tasovu. I gave you a lekach Tov. Don't let go of Tov. So the fact of the matter is that if we look for things that are Tov, those are things that we gain out of in life. And that was Yiftach's contribution. However, says Rabbi Beckhofer, very, very carefully, a person has to be very careful when you're dealing with such a movement. Because we'll see, and over the course of the Haftorah, look what happens to Yiftach when he is so far above the people. Look what happens, and who was not around in order to prevent him from some of his challenges. We in life sometimes use the opportunity to be Yotzei Zayin, and we say, ah, Baruch Hashem, we're Yotzei, we've gotten out of our difficulty. Getting out of it is not what the Torah wants from us. Zos Chukas HaTorah tells us that what we need to do is get more into it with God, to understand our opportunities with God. If we take advantage of those, we will indeed achieve not only a Shabbat Shalom, but a life that is filled with a sense of Shlemus as well. Shabbat Shalom to all.